This podcast is brought to you by Fast Slow Motion, a team of expert consultants that have helped hundreds of growing businesses build scalable systems on the HubSpot and Salesforce platforms. To learn more, visit fastslowmotion.com.
When you start with trust, you establish this safe place for people to be vulnerable. You're establishing trust between team members to have healthy conflict. You're not going to have this fearful, uncomfortable feeling among the team. You're really going to be able to rely on each other.
Welcome to the Fast Slow Motion podcast, where we teach you how to build a business you love while enjoying your life. In our podcast, we talk key learnings, cheat codes, hacks, and principles that have served us on our journey in the hopes that they serve you as well. I'm your host, Sam Donaghy, and today I'm joined by Fast Slow Motion's Martha Cyrilnik. Hey, Martha, lovely to see you today.
Hi, thanks for having me, Sam. I'm excited to be here.
Martha, I'm really, really excited about today's episode. Before we start, can you tell us a little bit about what you do at Fast Slow Motion?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm a project leader here at Fast Slow Motion. I've been here for 4 years, or it'll be 4 years coming up here pretty soon. Loved every minute of it. And I lead a team of consultants and implementation specialists that work with our development team and architect team to provide solutions to our clients.
So Martha, on this podcast, we talk a lot about what it means to build a business that you love. Most entrepreneurs and leaders are definitely going to agree that an important characteristic of a business that they love is going to be a place where people actually enjoy working, right? I think it's really hard to love a business if the environment just feels negative. And there's a lot of factors that determine whether a work environment is going to be a positive one. But what we'd like to address today is something that we found to be really important here at Fast Slow Motion. And that's having an atmosphere of trust. It's something that doesn't happen by accident. And it really takes a lot of intentionality from leadership in order to build it. And you've managed a lot of teams, both here at Fast Slow Motion and earlier on in your career. And you're definitely highly valued here for your wisdom on how to build an environment of trust. So firstly, tell us why trust is so important.
I've been a part of teams basically my whole life, starting with sports teams. I played basketball through college, and then I've had amazing mentors throughout my career that have taught me what it's like, or what it takes to be a good team player and what it takes to lead a phenomenal team. And it all starts with trust, period, the end, right? Like your team is only going to be as good as how strong your trust is. And so if you don't build that foundation of trust, you're building a house that's not built on a solid foundation. So if you hear nothing else from today, build your team with a foundation of trust, and all the other pieces will really kind of fall in place. But it starts with trust, because when you start with trust, you establish this safe place for people to be vulnerable. You're establishing trust between team members to have healthy conflict. You're not going to have this fearful, uncomfortable feeling among the team. You're really going to be able to rely on each other and make decisions. And I love the concepts from the five dysfunctions of a team that Patrick Lencioni wrote. And a part of that is that pyramid that he summarizes a great team. Of course, the foundation or the base of that pyramid is trust.
So can you unpack that a little bit more? You know, this pyramid that you're talking about from Patrick Lencioni's book.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through exactly what that looks like?
Absolutely. So like I said, the base of it, the foundation is trust. Mm. If you don't have trust, you're not going to be able to move forward in conflicts, because it's easy to run a business when things are going well, right? Those great days are awesome, but they are few and far between. And so you really need to make sure you've got a base layer or a foundational layer of trust. Trust is established through vulnerability. And when I mean vulnerability, it's really that Brené Brown describes it, I think, as emotional exposure. You're really able to peel back a layer of yourself and feel okay about it. You know, you might feel a little uncomfortable. You might squirm the first few times that you do it. But really what it does is it establishes that trust among the team. So being vulnerable with your team members, that starts to build the trust within the team.
And would you say that takes like emotional intelligence as well to be able to peel that layer back?
Peel that layer back, make sure you share what's important, nothing that's going to make things uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to say, you know, I've never done this before, or, you know, this is, you know, my mistake. I need to learn better, to learn and do something better or differently. And so, that's that vulnerability that you're going to be establishing from day one, which then leads to that next layer of the pyramid, Sam, which is really conflict. So being able to make sure when you have the trust established in your foundation, it helps you be able to have healthy conflict. Mm. What you don't want to have is a team that fears conflict. When you fear conflict, you have really an artificial harmony. And Patrick Lencioni talks about that. It really helps, or it really prevents you from being the best team that you can be. Because conflict is really where some of the beautiful ideas come to life, right? Conflict is also just a healthy part of growing. And so if you really want to grow your business, like I said, you've got to establish that foundation of trust. And that's where you'll be able to have healthy conflict. And then from there, when you have healthy conflict, you're going to be able to really commit solidly and buy into what the team's goals are, right? So if you want to make sure that you've got solid buy-in, you need to make sure you have a trusting environment where you're able to have conflict, and then making sure that when you make the decision or make a decision, you've got the commitment and the buy-in from the team. And when you have commitment or buy-in, that's when you can hold each other accountable, which is the next layer of the pyramid, is accountability. So making sure you're holding each other accountable, you're able to have that healthy conflict because you have established trust on the team, that you're able to make sure that, you know, people are accountable for their behaviors and their performance on the team, which then just drives really high, really phenomenal results on a team. And so, again, it all goes back to trust, and how you establish trust on a team is through vulnerability. So once you have that team, that trust established on the team, you're able to have healthy conflict, which leads to clarity and buy-in, which then allows you to be able to have, goals that and performance indicators that you're able to hold people accountable, which then just drive phenomenal results. So it's been something that I've actually shown every single team that I've been a part of since I was exposed to it about 10 years ago, maybe even more now. But I go over a couple of exercises from this book and talk through it on every team that I'm on, because I want everybody to be aware of where we're starting. We're starting here at trust and being vulnerable with one another.
Okay, Martha, what's the difference between the team that has a lot of trust with each other versus the ones that don't?
Oh, man. I mean, you've probably felt it before when you walk into a room or a company where 100%. You know it's right. You know there's low trust. You get an uncomfortable feeling. So right off the bat, there's just a feeling or a cultural perspective that's different, right? So you can feel it to your core. And I think the biggest difference, not only that feeling, but also is I think teams with high trust simply are more successful. I think the biggest difference from a day-to-day level is that your team is going to enjoy the work more. They're going to enjoy coming to the office or, you know, logging into the meeting, and they're going to be satisfied being a part of it as well. Mm. And so while, you know, sometimes you might think these concepts can be maybe a little abstract, really, when it comes down to it, you can think of it on a day-to-day level that if your team is excited to come into work and excited to move your business forward each day, it's going to create an incredible environment and help you grow your business faster and, again, just more enjoyable.
Martha, what would you say the steps are to actually go about creating vulnerability within the team then?
Yeah. There's a few tricks that I've learned over the years, or activities, if you want to call them, that really help establish a base layer of trust. And it's through an activity that's going to be a little bit vulnerable. You're going to feel a little uncomfortable, but it's great. It's what is defined in the book from Patrick Lencioni. And it's called a personal histories exercise. I've done this on every single team, and it's just a starting point to really start to become vulnerable with your team. And so what you'll do is you'll go around and answer three questions about yourself. The three questions that he recommends is, where did you grow up? How many siblings do you have, and where do you fall in that order? And then the third, please describe a unique or interesting challenge or experience from your childhood. You would not believe, with those three questions, how much trust immediately gets established. So again, you're sharing a little bit about your past, your history, not too deep, so it's not super uncomfortable, but it's just enough to peel back that first layer to really start to understand each other on the team. Here's another tip. If you are looking to become vulnerable or be an example of vulnerability on your team, is as the leader, go first. So in this exercise, you want to go first. In a meeting, when you don't understand something, be the person that speaks up and says, hey, I've got a question about this. I just don't understand it. Being the example of vulnerability as a leader helps everybody to take that big sigh of relief and give everybody a little bit more comfort, because they know, oh, the leader at the top doesn't understand this, or they've got a question, or hey, they're vulnerable. This is a safe space. They're able to be vulnerable too. Some other examples of how you can be vulnerable with your team is, hey, I don't know how to do this, or I've never done this before, but I've got examples or experience in XYZ. That might help them then say, oh, okay, well, we don't exactly know how to get there, but we're headed in the right direction. Or, hey, this isn't my strongest area. Can you help me with this? Another way to show vulnerability is, you don't have to get into any details, but you can say, hey, I'm having a hard time with my spouse or my child or an aging parent. Something's going on at home, and I just need you to know that for the next couple of days. You'd be amazed at, again, you don't have to go into the details of it, but just knowing, hey, Martha's got something going on at home. I just need to give her a little bit of a break and understand that that's where she's coming from. Another way to share vulnerability is, I'm sorry, right? So if something doesn't go exactly as planned, you'll just be able to say, yeah, I'm sorry, and I made a mistake. So again, just really practical ways for you to be able to start establishing that vulnerability on your team. Start with your personal histories. Make it a point at your next meeting to go through those questions. You go first as the leader. And then start to, you know, use those examples that I mentioned in meetings and with your team so that you create that safe space for others to be vulnerable as well.
I love that. I always remember internally at FSM where we had this company training and, you know, we were talking about imposter syndrome, right? What a great topic. Yes. And a lot of people feel like they've got imposter syndrome. And I just always remember thinking, wow, like leadership's talking about this stuff and they're giving examples. And, you know, that for me is the definition of leadership showing vulnerability. And it really does trickle down to everybody else. So it is hard to be vulnerable, right? You know, not every culture is created equally. You know, we're very blessed at Fast Slow Motion. We do have that culture of vulnerability and transparency. Why would you say it's so hard for people to be vulnerable and transparent?
Oh gosh, it's uncomfortable, right? Mm. It's so uncomfortable. It's hard to admit when you make a mistake. It's hard to admit, hey, I don't know exactly what's going on here and I need your help. Right. A lot of times we're taught that weakness or the exposure.
Showing your cards.
Exactly. Which really what it ends up doing is, you know, it's not really showing your cards. It's actually showing a sign of leadership and strength.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, it's just tough. Right. But if you lean into it and you say, this is going to take our team to the next level, this is going to take our business to the next level, then lead into that uncomfortable feeling and know that it's not showing your weakness. It's actually showing your strength. Another reason why people don't do it is just because they're fearful of the consequences or the results, right? Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about that example as the business owner, and you've got other people, you know, helping you execute on your business plan. They might be new in their career. They might have been there for forever. But if they're fearful of the consequences of sharing something like that, they're going to quit sharing. And so you've got to create that safe space for people to be able to share ideas, collaborate, be creative, allow them to speak freely. That's going to really help you, establish a better space and get over that uncomfortable feeling of vulnerability.
You've probably got two camps, right? If we can picture two camps, you've got one camp that might be listening to the podcast that's saying there are no stupid questions. But then you've got the other camp who are sat there thinking there are stupid questions, right? Like, where's the balance? How do we strike the balance there for people to feel comfortable to share, but at the same time, let's be professional and really know what your skill set is and where you fit within the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it starts with a personal understanding of each other, right? So you're right. There's probably two camps out there that are like, hey, one's a stupid question or there are no stupid questions, right? But I think where you, and no matter where you are on that, answering that, is if your team knows that and you have that established trust that they do know that, and they know that's a part of your personality, whether you believe in that or not, right? That they're going to be more comfortable around you, which is essentially what we're trying to get to, right? Is the ability to be open, candid, frank with one another. And so I think whether you believe in every question is valid, or there might be some stupid questions out there, really what it comes down to is letting your team know that. Right? Sharing that part of you to establish the trust so that it then allows others to be vulnerable around you.
It's going to give people a chance to see what the blind spots are on the team as well, right? And that's going to help everybody to fill those blind spots and really raise the team as a whole over time.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is why I love what we've done internally is use the tools, some of those assessments, behavior assessments and behavior insights that then allow me to go, oh, our team has this many characteristics and we don't have any in this area. And so I'm able to see into, where those blind spots might be. And again, it just understanding each other helps us build trust, which goes back to, again, the foundation of a phenomenal team is trust.
And going from there, how would you say being vulnerable and transparent actually builds that trust?
I think you're able to dig in one layer deeper and see there's another human on the other side working with you, which then only allows you to be more comfortable in conflict, hold each other accountable, and really drive the results and the decisions that you want to. Daniel Cole has a great book called The Culture Code, and there's great stories in it. One about the San Antonio Spurs, which I always love a good basketball story and reference. But in that, he talks about a vulnerability loop. And again, it goes back to just establishing that vulnerability and transparency among a team. And so when you have that vulnerability loop, it's basically like you and I are in that loop, right? I send a signal of vulnerability. You detect that signal. And then you respond by signaling your own vulnerability. I then pick up on that signal. And now this norm is established, right? We've become closer and our trust is increased. And so I think that when you have that vulnerability loop, it actually helps you build trust. So going back to, again, to build trust, you've got to be vulnerable. And I think the vulnerability loop does a great job of explaining how it does that.
And is this something that people need, well, companies need to be hiring to, right? You need to be looking for somebody that can show emotional intelligence, show vulnerability in the interview process, right? Or is it something that you can coach people on once you actually have these people on your team?
I think it's both, right? I think there are some questions you can probably ask that, I remember one question or one answer of somebody that I was interviewing at one point. And they just flat out said, like, I don't know. And I was like, this is a perfect example of vulnerability. Like, I'd rather you say that in an interview than give me a false answer or something just crazy off the wall, right? Because what it does is it establishes, oh, okay, you have self-awareness. You kind of know what your limitations are. And so I think that you can hire for it. But I also think that you can coach others around you. And I think, again, it starts with the leadership and it starts with making sure that you're being an example of vulnerability. You're being an example of You know, you're doing the activities. And this is something too that I think is important to remind people is it's not just this one and done thing, right? I remember in leading a larger team, I would do these exercises every 6 months. We were hiring and promoting and going through a lot of change and growth. And so every 6 months, I just had a reminder, hey, we need to go through a trust building activity to really just reestablish that and make sure we're all on the same place or same page, same place. And how you do that is through the activities, through some of the resources. I would just always remind everyone to do it over and over again. It's never lost. It's always a great investment of time.
You mentioned leadership just then. So what can leaders do to encourage vulnerability and transparency in their own organizations?
Yeah, I would definitely say go through the activities that we just mentioned, that personal history, start there.
Yeah.
Be an example of vulnerability. It's tough, right? But you've got to be the example for everyone else. So you might want to think about how you answer questions, what your tone is, right? Making sure that you're creating that safe space for people to be vulnerable and to establish that trust. And so I think really it comes down to leaning into it, right? And being the example and knowing that when you invest in this and when you invest in yourself and you invest in these activities, that the results are only going to, you know, the outcomes are only going to drive better results.
Building this kind of trust has obvious benefits for employees and dramatically improves the working environment as we've found at Fast Slow Motion. Martha, I am interested. What benefits are there for clients that come into contact with a business that prioritizes building trust in this way?
One, I think your clients can pick up on it. I think they're going to trust you if you feel like that environment is safe, is comfortable. So one, I think that by creating the environment of trust, that's the energy that your clients are going to pick up on. And if you've got team members who are, like we said, you know, if you have a trusting environment, you're going to be more comfortable. You're going to be more successful. You're going to enjoy it more. So when your team members are, you know, enjoying it, enjoying the work, your clients can see it. And it's contagious, right? Mm. And so I think that you, through trust and having that established internally, is only more attractive for people to do business with you.
Hmm. So you can take these principles into your meetings with your clients as well, right? It's not just for them to see internally, this is the way that you're going to speak to them as well, would you say?
It's the way you treat each other. So if we get on a client call and we are having healthy conflict, right, between the teams, again, that's just being an example of it and showing that, hey, we can have a conflict and resolve it and get to a decision and a better result faster together if we've got that trust. You can carry it through to your meetings and your clients and just the way that you treat each other on calls and in front of customers.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform, or you can find archived episodes at fastslowmotion.com/podcast.